within whose body Esha, this Bhuvanatraya, of the three planetary systems making up the universe, Sannivesha, the elaborate arrangement, Yasya, of whom Indriyai, by the senses, Danubritam, of the embodied living beings, Ubhaya Indriyani, both kinds of senses, knowledge acquiring and active, Gyanam, knowledge, Swata, directly from him, Swasanata, from his breathing, Balam, strength of the body, Oja, strength of the senses, Iha, activities, Sattvadibi, by nature's modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance, Stiti, in maintenance, Laya, destruction, Udbhave, by and creation, Adikarta, the original doer, translation and purport by the disciples of Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Within his body are elaborately arranged the three planetary systems of the universe. His transcendental senses generate knowledge acquiring and active senses of all embodied beings. His consciousness generates conditioned knowledge, and his powerful breathing produces the bodily strength, sensory power, and conditioned activities of the embodied soul. He is the prime mover through the agency of the material modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. And thus the universe is created, maintained, and annihilated. Report. When a conditioned soul becomes completely exhausted by his strenuous activities, or when he is overcome by disease, death, or fear, he loses all power to manifest practical knowledge and or activities. Thus we should understand that independent of the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we can neither work nor cultivate knowledge. By the mercy of the Personality of Godhead, the conditioned soul acquires a material body, which is a perverted reflection of the unlimited spiritual body of the Lord. Thus, the living entity engages in ignorant materialistic activities for society, friendship, and love. But the entire program suddenly vanishes with the unforeseen dissolution of the material body. Similarly, our material knowledge is always subject to become null and void within an instant, since the material nature is itself constantly changing. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the prime mover behind birth, maintenance, and destruction of the universe. And the living entity should try to understand that the Personality of Godhead, who has given him so much facility for illusion, the Personality of Godhead actually wants the conditioned soul to surrender to him and regain an eternal life of bliss and knowledge at the Lord's side. The conditioned soul should reason, quote, if the Lord is giving me so much facility to merge into ignorance, surely he will give me even more facility to come out of this ignorance if I humbly follow his direction without foolish speculation. This verse describes Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, the second phase of the Purusha incarnations of the Lord. This Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, who is glorified in the Purusha Shukta prayers, expands himself as super soul to enter the heart of every living being. Through chanting of the holy names of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Even in this degraded age, one can find the Supreme Lord within one's heart. The Lord is a person as much as we are, but he is unlimited. Still, a personal loving relationship exists between the tiny living entity and the unlimited Supreme Lord. In consideration of this personal relationship, Bhakti Yoga is the only suitable process by which one can come to the ultimate understanding of our constitutional position as servants of the Supreme Lord. Om Ajnana Tamarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Miritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Karamayam Dadati Sva Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamala Shri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaganar Raghunatham vitam tam sajivam sadvaitam savadutam parijana saitam krishna chaitanya devam shri radha krishna padam sagana lalita shri vishikam kamscha e krishna karuna sindhu dinabandhu jagatpate gopisha gopika kanta radha kanta namostute dapta kanchana gorange radhe Shri Vishvabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vanchakopa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnava Namo Namah Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 So, in this verse, of course, they're describing the process by which the Supreme Lord creates this universe and gives facility for all the living entities to fulfill all their desires. How they are dependent on him, because it is by his appearance and by his generating the senses and the bodies and the intelligence and the strength of the living entities that they're actually able to grow and act in this material universe. But in the purport, we get some special messages in addition to all this. And the first message is that we are actually all dependent on the Supreme Lord. We're dependent on him in so many ways that even this very body, mind, and senses are functioning only by his divine will, only by his arrangement. And when he likes, if he likes, he can dissolve the entire affair, and we are no longer capable of functioning or acting in this material world. So therefore, the next point is that we should try to understand him. He is such a powerful person, plays such the major role in our existence. We should know who he is. It's very important that we make that effort to contact him, to know him. And we should therefore follow his directions, because his desire is what? To bring us back home, to be with him internally in the spiritual world. So because he is benevolent and he is our well-wisher, we should make that effort to contact him and follow his directions. In particular, the chanting of the holy name is the most powerful and direct way of uniting with Krishna, connecting with him, and pleasing him. And through the bhakti yoga process, finally we can discover our personal relationship with the infinitely great Supreme Lord and his servants, as his servants. So, conditioned souls in this material world are in a problematic situation. They cannot see the Supreme Lord and how his energies are working for them. So they deny him. They ignore him. They choose to think that they are independent of his control and independent of him in all respects. And thus they suffer and remain separate from him during their existence continuously in this material world. So this is their choice, but it's not a good choice. It is a suffering choice, but still it is the free will that Krishna has given each and every living entity to make that choice. You know, do you want to know me? Do you want to serve me? Do you want to exist and follow my instructions or not? So there's a freedom given. You can choose to do that or you can choose not to do that. But the question becomes, why not know him? If he is so powerful, is he so integrated into our lives, into our very existence, and he is the one who is permitting and causing us to be able to function in all respects with our mind, body, and senses, why not try to know such a person? Why not try to get to understand that is intelligence, that is a sign of someone who actually is taking advantage of this human form of life? We're not simply meant to go through the routine daily of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, and working hard to support those activities. That is simply a fool's proposition. It is the symptom of one in lower consciousness, more akin to the life of an animal. But human beings are very proud that they're much more than animals. And so therefore, we should take advantage to get to know Krishna. Because he is there, and he is actively involved. He's directly, indirectly, and directly involved in our lives. So I know that His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami was always presenting the points that we should become very grateful and thankful to him for all that he has given us, even down to the most basic facility he has given us for breathing and eating and for water and for all the different facilities he gives us within this material universe, in addition to personal things that are helping me in my life to exist and struggle within this material elements. So it becomes advantageous to know and helpful to know who he is and what he is and how he is interested in me. He is not simply a mechanical provider, but he has a personal interest in me. That is something one would want to know. Why is he interested? For example, if suddenly we're given the opportunity to contact one of the greatest persons in the world, the President of the United States, we would want to know something of him, and we would want to know how he can interact with me, how he can develop a relationship. What is that contact? Because that one contact can make a whole difference in one's life. It can make a change. So much more so for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is very deeply and continuously involved in our lives. So although Krishna is infinitely greater than any one other person I may know in this material universe, still, he is knowable. And how is he knowable? Because he presents himself, he presents his instructions in the scriptures. He makes himself available and able to be known. He gives us direct contact. Although he is infinite and he is imperceptible to our senses, still, he gives us his messages. He gives us his guidance. He gives us information and encouragement on what his interests are and how we would be much more satisfied to exist with him in a different realm, in the spiritual world. How that is superior to life in this material world in so many different ways, ways that are very pleasing to the individual soul. So to know such a powerful and infinite person actually seems quite amazing, or perhaps even difficult and unlikely. I don't know about you, but perhaps in the course of my lifetime, I've really never come to know any particular president of the United States, although he has a very big impact on life and how things go on in this particular country. But I've not had that opportunity. He's been at quite a distance and very unlikely, and I really didn't come to know very much detail about him. So much more so for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How much further away and more difficult and unknowable he seems to be. So he is very kind. He knows our dilemma. And he opens the door, a door of exchange. He says, here in this book, Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and so many other scriptures, here is the way you can come to understand me. Here is what I have designed as the best methods for you to live and be happy. I often refer to this as kind of the owner's manual. We have this body, and we get this body, there's a manual that tells us, okay, this is how it works. This is the way you'll get the result that you want from having this body. This is the way you'll be happy and satisfied. I don't know but if anyone else is like me, but I, you know, having this male ego, when I buy a new machine, I never look at the manual. I just look at it, I'm going to figure this out, make it work. And more than half the time, it doesn't. I run into a problem because there's more to it than meets the eye, and I'm certainly not expert. But that's the way the conditioned soul tends to want to operate with me. I'll figure it out. Especially in America, we're very proud. I'm so intelligent, I'm so industrious. I'll figure it out, I'll do it on my own. But why? Why struggle? Such a difficult challenge. With all the modes of nature and all the painful sufferings that are there in this world and all the challenges, why suffer without help and direction? What's the right way to make it work? What's the Creator's design? If He says this is how it works, it's going to work that way. So this is a great opportunity we have to come in contact by hearing His words and by hearing the realizations of those persons who have actually followed and understood His instructions, His dear devotees. So this is an advantage that we are given. So then the question becomes, can I understand what is His goodwill? That means, what is His love for me? Does He have love, and what is the nature of that love? And how it is incredibly great, His goodwill and His love for me, and that it is constant. No matter how much I deny Him, that moment I try and forget Him, ignore Him, I seek other shelters, His love doesn't diminish. His love doesn't fade as an ordinary person might. In a husband-wife relationship, if one constantly ignores the spouse and doesn't take any advantage of hearing what they want us, what they want from us, what will be pleasing, how to act, then that relationship will suffer and it will dry up. But Krishna is not that kind of person. He doesn't abandon us. He stays with us constantly, always waiting when we'll actually take interest in hearing from Him. So this is important because, you know, having so long ignored Him, the question is, now will He reciprocate with me after all these lifetimes? So to deny Him is actually very foolish because we have so much to gain by connecting with Him. So much to gain. And Krishna has something we were hearing about last weekend in these marriage counseling seminar. It's called a love language. Each person has what's called a love language. A language by which they receive and understand someone loves them. And it's different for each person. One person may be very focused on receiving gifts and receiving them on a specific dates like birthdays and holidays and things like that. And another person just wants to hear kind and supportive words from their spouse. And that is so important. If they don't get that, then they feel unloved. So there's so many different, there's five primary ways that persons exchange these love. And Krishna's primary way is by praising him, by chanting his holy name. He gives us as that as the prime method to learn how to love him in this material world, especially in this age. And he reciprocates with us by giving us gifts, which is another exchange of love. And he brings us closer to him. He manifests himself perhaps more strongly so that we can understand that he has feelings and that he is present and that he is there trying to exchange love with us. So although he is completely hidden from view, he is approachable. And therefore, we can and do have an opportunity of a relationship with him. So this is so very important because he's not impersonal. He has feelings and he wants an exchange with us. That is his intention. And that exchange is an exchange of love. It is not an exchange of demands and fear, an exchange of love, which is something that we're so much desperate to find in this material world. And it is somewhat challenging to exchange love with someone that we don't know, we don't understand, and we can't see him, and we don't know his desires, unless we take advantage of hearing about him. So it's a special challenge, and Krishna knows it's a challenge for a conditioned soul to approach him and to express love, but he gives us processes by which the acharyas, the teachers in our line, tell us how that love is developed and how that love is exchanged. And what is the result of those exchanges? There's different primary exchanges detailed in the Nectar of Devotion. What are those exchanges of love between the Supreme Lord and the living entity? And they're available and they're achievable. They're experienceable by every living being. There's no exception. So in spite of all these challenges, they melt away as we come to know him. And we come to engage in the processes that he has given us to understand him. So all these challenges go away as we begin to surrender to him and dedicate our lives to him. Then we feel a great closeness to him. And that love begins to blossom like a new flower that opens up in so many petals, and the aroma and the fragrances come forth. And the beauty comes forth, so our love can also blossom. So Krishna gives us this process to cultivate knowledge and develop experience of him. And he comes specifically in this age as who? Lord Chaitanya. To teach us and to demonstrate to us how that process of developing love for him actually is performed by a living entity and how it will be experienced as it grows. So he gives us that example, and not only he gives that example, but he also sends his representatives, the teachers in our line, his great devotees, who also in their lives, they show us the same thing. They show us how it is performed, these loving activities, and how love blossoms and is experienced. So with bhakti, The execution of bhakti, which is the means of developing that relationship, we can see him, actually, even though we have these material senses. We can see him in the form of the deity, Sri Sri Radha Shyamasundar, Sri Sri Krishna Balaram, Sri Sri Gornitai. We can see them and experience them and exchange loving services and emotions with him. And this is a tried and true and well-documented process that works. It works for each and every person. There's no exception. Whether you're young or old, man or woman, well-educated, not educated, rich or poor, it works for everyone. And Krishna then comes and he reciprocates our service, our love and exchange, and he reciprocates it in a very personal way. That we know he is directly, of course, he's directly relating with me and exchanging with me as an individual. So, finally, the examples are further given, not only by Lord Chaitanya, but in so many personalities that we read and study about in the Srimad Bhagavatam and in the Bhagavad Gita, and especially in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And they demonstrate not only how to perform bhakti, but also the results of perfecting bhakti. And this bhakti then reduces our sufferings from previous sins and gives the highest form of happiness. So these are the messages from this purport and this verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam that I was able to discern. And I welcome now any comments or questions or additions to all this. Would anyone like to speak something?
I was thinking that you are reinstated was that how Krishna reciprocated with individual without any pre-qualifications, whatever, whoever it is. But it seems like in our own society that not a devotee will pursue in that path. They have that tendency that you mentioned in the beginning that not to follow. It's not that Krishna is not going to reciprocate, but not to follow or be under guidance while they are going through some kind of doubts or some kind of struggle. Instead, they come on their own inference way to take their own course in their own hand, and eventually they fail and deviate or go away or don't feel encouraged to actually experience what is going on. So that, I thought, has to be also legal.
It is true that those who take up this process of devotional service, not everyone is able to follow it as given by the acharyas in our line. And in part that is because we are conditioned souls. And being conditioned souls, we have tendency to take shelter of the material material nature, and to take shelter of our own mind and resort to trying again to find happiness in the material senses. And that is partly a matter of faith, and a matter of faith is increased by proper association. If one associates with those who are seriously and successfully executing these processes, his faith will increase, and he will be more likely to take shelter of the correct procedures, having seen others which are becoming successful or already are successful in this process of changing from a material absorption to a spiritual absorption. It is not necessarily easy for a conditioned soul to make that transition because we're very much attached. We are attached to this body. We are attached to habits that have come not only in this lifetime but in many previous lifetimes. And so our faith tends to be weak at least in the beginning stages, that although Krishna says you will be happy, your sufferings will be reduced, we think, let me try something else. The modes of nature in this material world are extremely strong. They are meant to control and bewilder the individual living entity. And we often don't have sufficient respect and caution because of that for them. When you are actually tied with a rope in three different places and being pulled around, you really don't have freedom. You are being forced in whatever direction those ropes are pulling you. But we want freedom. We desperately want freedom. But we think the freedom is to enjoy the material world, enjoy the material senses. But that is not freedom. That is the cause of bondage. Mark Twain, I like to remember, he wrote a book. I think it was called Huckleberry Finn. I don't know if any of you have ever read that. But in there, some boys created an image of a young boy, and dressed and put clothes, but the body was made out of tar. So some other kids came by and, oh, who is this? And they tried to poke him, but every time they touched the body, they became stuck, and they couldn't get their hands off. And then when they used the other hand to get the first hand out, that hand became, and then they use their feet, and then one becomes totally stuck. So we are like that with material energy. We poke at it, we try it, we test it, and become stuck. And then we try to unstick by the wrong methods, and become more stuck and more stuck. And that's the nature of material energy. We cannot, by our own, get free. It's not possible. Doesn't happen.
But sometimes I feel like there was one devotee day before yesterday who was he was pointing out that cannot chant because body is like so sick and this, that. Mm-hmm. So I was talking about Giriraj Maharaj's life. That Giriraj Maharaj is so advanced, yet he was demonstrating a last visit in Alachua, demonstrating a very nice way to see actually devotee should not suffer. And if devotee seems like suffering apparently, then they should trace out that there is a cause. This process, devotional service, works 100%. But not every devotee can grasp it, how it works. So he gave his own example that he was holding some kind of sickness on his throat and he was like a stuffy nose and other. And it doesn't go away for months. So he went to the doctor and in South Africa. And in the reception, there's two rooms for the patient visiting. Mm-hmm. One room was for kind of a little music or meditation. And the other is like Western. So he chose to go there. And while he was sitting there waiting for the next person to call him, to visit the doctor. And some old memory of his godbrother, we cannot say the name, but he was holding for 40 years some grudge against because he was so kind of, something happened before then. So then, after 40 years, Maharaj was sick. It seems like any medicine can cure or something, but it was not going away. So then when the doctors saw him, first thing he told him, are you holding grudge against someone?
Krishna
and Maharaj was shocked. So he confessed, he said he went to Radhanath Maharaj and asked him, how do I remove this? And Radhanath Maharaj was saying, well, let's find out what he did, what he contributed in Prabhupada's mission. So they started talking and then he's out of that sickness automatically.
Hmm.
So it's like a very catchy. I was telling the devotee, it's not possible any devotee suffer. But they do suffer apparently because they're holding something. Because this process works. But sometimes we may not understand how it works. So my point is that I have to individually has to let go, and I have to be willing to do something to please the Lord. Also, I should be willing to give up something that will please the Lord. That constantly should be there.
And the Mana Shiksha, written by Raghunath Das Goswami, gives a prime indicator, and that is pride. We're proud of so many things. And not only that, we're proud that I can figure it out. I can do it. I don't need anyone else's help. I can do it. Or we're proud of whatever we think we've achieved, or whatever we've come into this world with, or whatever, you know, situation we found ourselves, we're proud. And that pride causes so many struggles. But he says, give up this pride. What does he compare it to? Bathing in donkey urine. Yeah, donkey urine. That sounds pretty disgusting. I haven't bathed in it, at least knowingly.
It actually gives you itching, like it's never non-stop on.
Really?
It's not a pleasure. But don't try it. I'm not promoting
it. Don't try it. Don't try this at home. So this association is very powerful, association devotees, especially those who are very serious and those who are very realized. Because that association, they have actually, what do they have within their hearts? They have this dust of the lotus, dust particles of the lotus feet of the Lord. And by associating with them, some of that dust goes on us. And we become changed. Yes, to the country.
So you're speaking about developing a personal relationship with the Lord. We've seen that many great devotees in the past have developed very close relationship with the deities. Because the deity is like the immediate thing you see. He is the Lord. So I'm thinking also we should try to develop a very close relationship with, which is personal relationship. Because that is what we're seeing. We're seeing the deities every day, you know, and so how we do that, you know, like we serve him, cook for him, bring stuff for him. These are ways of reciprocating, you know.
Yeah.
And then reveal your mind to him, you know. So these are ways we can develop.
Or just even coming to see him and expressing happiness, being there, welcoming him. And it's like if you have a friend, he comes into the room, you haven't seen him, it's like, hey, Bo, you go and say a few kind words and, you know, you're very happy to see that person. So even that simple step is very powerful. Anyone else? Yes, Mata.
Anipo, what do you tell people in general? Like, you tell them, like you explained in your class, that Krishna really loves all the living entities and he wishes everyone to come back home to him. But then people, they say that how, if God really loves us, why are all these unfair and cruel things happening in the world? Like, it seems like, for example, powerful leaders in the world, they're getting away with so much crime and innocent people have to suffer from them, even if they're actually really good in their heart. And so it's just very difficult for people in general to remember God in those circumstances, especially now in Kali Yuga when things are getting so difficult. So what do you tell people? How can you inspire any faith that God ultimately, you know, is fair and is loving all of us.
Well, each person needs to have personal experience. And we can share with them our personal experiences. We are, after all, trying to be devotees, and Krishna does reciprocate with us. Or we can give more clearly the examples of others, great devotees in the scriptures, like Prahlad Maharaj. And ultimately, each person, you know, they're stuck in some combination of material modes. So they cannot even see what's happening to them. So what needs to happen is a little faith by associating with devotees and by chanting the holy name. So basically, I encourage them. And I see actually, you know, for example, there's one devotee that comes here from time to time, Krishna Kripa Brahmachari. He originally was staying here for some time. Now he travels. He comes here periodically. He likes to be involved in the college preaching. So he would go out and meet on the campus and chant and meet students and talk to them. And I find that whoever met him a year ago or 2 years ago, he said, is he coming back again? I want to meet him again. You know, he was such a special person. But he's just, you know, as a devotee, he's very humble, very simple. He just does his service. He chants and he travels around and no big show. I'm amazed when I see him come. He'll chant and be very satisfied if one person sits down and chants with him or stops and talks. Doesn't have to be 20 or 10. It's just one person. And whether they come or they don't come, he goes and keeps going on and meeting them. And so his example, his purity, is just affecting people. So the more we're examples of what the Shastra says, we don't have to say anything, they will experience it. That's also true. Because in this world, people say so many things, and they don't do them. Or they can't do them. So people, not always so convinced by words. Although we speak something because they have to hear something. But the example is most important. Being that person, that teacher who is doing. How is it that this whole movement started? Prabhupada came, but he didn't just teach. He gave the example. He showed us everything. He was, you know, giving a lecture, leading the kirtan, cooking, serving the prasadam. And finally, after some time, it dawned on the devotees, maybe we should help him. He was doing everything. But still, by his example, gradually devotees became convinced, yes, this is a good process. I should follow it. I should try. Does that help? Anything else?
Papa was saying during the Second World War, the Germans were praying that please let, you know, the wives were praying to my husband and son, please let them come back,
yes,
you know, safe. And the other parties, the Americans and others, they were also praying the same thing. The Papa said, who created this war? Now you're blaming God, or you want God to save you. But you created the mess. Did you go to God to start the war? No, you just out of lust and greed. So people create mess, they create a hellish situation for themselves, and then they blame God for their situation that they created. But God has nothing to do with it. You're the one who came here, you're the one who created the mess. Why should you blame God?
Yes. Actually, I read something just a couple days ago. Prabhupada is describing the Second World War and how there were victors, the victorious side. He said both sides suffered tremendously. So much loss of life, so much suffering, so much. And he said, you know, there was nothing good about the war. Even for the winners, they suffered so much. Madam Ma?
That did remind me of a movie once called War Games, where they had a computer that was programmed to be the safe, fail-safe position, and some kid hacked into it thinking it was a video game. So he started a war, and it was virtual. It hadn't happened yet, but it looked like it was happening. So there wasn't any way to stop it. So they found the fellow who made the program, and he said there was a back door in it that he used to have his kids play as a video game, and he could go in like that. So they started a game of tic-tac-toe, and the computer learned. He said, "Nobody wins. There isn't any way to win a war." So it turned itself off. But I had a response to the bad things happening to good people. So there's a term called tough love, where it's a little bit harder to detect because the problem is still present. You know, but it indicates, just like what is more, the better way to raise someone, where you don't give them any guidance or there is responsibility or consequence for their bad actions. So the people that are suffering, ultimately, if there wasn't the bad part still present, a little bit of good part, they would say, well, there's something superior to me, and I'm in trouble. I must have done something wrong. And they're trying to correct me, just like with a parent. Sometimes when the kids are very young, they get upset with the parents, and they say, oh, I hate you. Why do I have to stay in and do my homework? You know, I just want to go out and play. Because they know there's a future life, and they're preparing you for it. So the parents, they have to endure that. Hopefully they wait for the children to mature a little bit, and then they get thanked. Oh, I see you corrected me. And then there was a story with the aunt who got her ear bit off. You know. And
yeah. So the criminal, he was being tried in, I think it was Calcutta, maybe, and he had been a thief and done so many crimes, and now he was being tried, and finally at the end of the trial he was sentenced to die, which doesn't happen so much in America, but at any rate, he was guilty and he was charged and sentenced, and he said, before I'm carried away for punishment, I want to tell my mother one thing. So if she could come close, I wanted to tell something.
It was his aunt.
His aunt? Okay. He was raised by his aunt. And when the aunt came clear, she said, put her ear, what do you want to say? And he took his mouth and he bit her ear off. And she's screaming, like, why did you do that? He said, because you never corrected me when I was a child. Now I've gone and done so many bad things, I'm going to die. And it was your fault, because you didn't chastise. But Krishna is not like that. He knows that we have to be 100% pure to go back to Godhead. So he arranges that we get the lessons. You have a story? It's not another year story, is it?
In Bombay.
Bombay, yeah.
One fellow, he was a very good thief, not a regular, he was a very good expert thief. And in the newspaper, in the jail, they had a newspaper. He saw in the front page Srila Prabhupada's photo, and it's a beautiful wrist watch, gold.
Yes.
You know that story?
Yes.
And then he says, he's thinking, I can get out of the jail.
You're seeing Prabhupada's picture, and his thought was, I want to meet him so I can steal his watch.
Yes.
That was the only thought. And he got out of jail, and he went to the Bombay temple and said, where is your teacher? He said, oh, he's not here. He's off in a different city in India. So he traveled there, and somehow Prabhupada was there, and he wanted to meet Prabhupada. And he said, no. Then Prabhupada, let's let him come in. So he sat down in front of Prabhupada, and he was talking with Prabhupada. And Prabhupada finally looked at him, and he took his watch, and he took his watch off his hand, and he handed it to him. And the person didn't even ask. He didn't say anything about the watch, but Prabhupada took it off and handed it to him. And the man immediately said, "No, no, I cannot take that. I cannot take that." So by associating with Prabhupada, his whole mood changed. And he no longer wanted to be a thief. So then Prabhupada said, "Why don't you stay in our temple?" And so he stayed there, and others devotees knew about him. So they only would let him wash the pots day and night. That's it. His name was, anyway. And then finally, Prabhupada came back and to that temple, and the person was sitting there washing pots, and the manager came in. "Oh, Prabhupada is here." He said, "Really?" "Yes, he's going to have initiations today." Wow, the devotee said, "What is this?" So he just snuck out of the kitchen to see Prabhupada was sitting there, and they were arranging everything for the fire yajna. He said, "Oh, there's Prabhupada." And Prabhupada said, "Yes, what are you doing here?" He said, "I'm doing service, no problem." And he said, "You have some questions?" He said, "Prabhupada, how do I get initiated?" Prabhupada said, "Just sit here." And he sat there, and Prabhupada initiated him. Although no one would recommend, he said, "But Prabhupada, no one will recommend me." He said, "That's all right. You sit there. I will initiate you." And he was given the name Haridas.
Haridas Das.
And he went on to become a very nice devotee, and he's making, in Bombay, he's a film producer.
Yeah.
And he made some nice film about Srila Prabhupada, was it, or ISKCON?
500th anniversary also, we were involved in 1986 with Mayara. His mother is one of the best cook in Mayapur. She passed away, but she was the best, I remember.
So by that association with Srila Prabhupada, he came with the wrong desire, but his heart was changed. And he became a great devotee of Krishna.
He was shocked. He told me personally, like, he could not believe that his idea of stealing Prabhupada's watch was still there, and he was shocked, like Prabhupada staring at his eye and took off his watch. He said, "Here, take it." He was like shocked, like never happened.
Prabhupada could read his mind. Not only that, he challenged him, "Here, take the watch. It's not important to me. You take it." And his heart changed. His heart changed. Amazing. Janmasmi Prabhu, last person there.
He doesn't just make films, but he's arranged for ISKCON presentations to be on television networks all over the world. I don't know if it comes to America, but at least throughout India and Southeast Asia and into Africa and like in Europe.
I know that we've been in, I used to go out traveling with Shakshi Gopal, and I still preach to some different Indian groups. And you go in their houses, and they are watching the dual darshan, whatever it is, the Indian channel coming directly from India and watching all the different things. And so if you're on that channel, they see you all around the world. Amazing. All right, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Govardhana.